Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Well, praise the Lord. Did you come expecting today? Did you come expecting today? Hallelujah. Knew you're going to come here and get something. You're going to leave with something. Praise the Lord. Praise God. How sweet it is when the brethren can dwell in unity. Praise the Lord. When we can come together and we can be in the presence of God together, or we can come together and seek Him together, you know. You know, I was, as I sit in my office, just about ready to come out, you know, I started started going on a little bit of a journey, and I started thinking about, you know, a snowflake, one snowflake, albeit beautiful, they're quite beautiful, but you take one snowflake by itself, and it doesn't do a whole lot, you know, it doesn't change a whole lot. But man, we know in this neighborhood, this neck of the woods, that when you get a whole bunch of them piled together, well, praise the Lord, there's a change, right? There's a change in the temperature. There's a change in the atmosphere. Praise the Lord. There's a change all over the place. So the same thing when the people of God come together expecting, when the people of God come together hungry, praise the Lord, He can move on them in amazing ways. Praise the Lord. You know, and that's a good explanation for that verse that says that where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. And the power, the concept of the power of togetherness and unity, and when more than one come together, amen? And so we know that we don't come to church just to hear a message or just to have something fixed in our lives, but we come to church to bring something too. You know, because it's not just one snowflake bringing something; it's all the snowflakes coming together. And we're not going to be social snowflakes. Praise the Lord. We're not going to be wusses. We're not going to be wimps. But we're going to go on everything God has for us. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, tonight I'm preaching about supernatural God. That's the name of the message. Supernatural God. Glory, hallelujah. You know, we don't just serve a God. We don't just serve a Santa Claus God. We serve a supernatural God. We serve a God who was and is, praise the Lord, and always will be. We serve a God who moves on us. He comes and greets us, praise the Lord. He comes and sees us. He talks to us. He shows us the way, praise the Lord. We don't serve a God who is weak. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. It's kind of thick up here right now, so you got to bear with me. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians 2:14. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Praise the Lord. You know, I know we talk about having a supernatural God a lot, and it dawned on me that maybe not everybody really understands what a supernatural God means, or what it means to be supernatural. You know, sometimes people think of supernatural, they think of like ghosts, they think of like sci-fi and stuff like that. But you know, our supernatural, really, I looked up the definition of it, and I found a good definition, not in the Bible, but just a good definition of it. And the definition of supernatural is of a manifestation or event attributed to some force beyond scientific understanding or the laws of nature. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. You know, it's important to understand that our God exists outside of everything that we know. Now, he exists in everything we know too, but he exists outside. He was there before it. He created it. Even time. Time is a concept that is so, you know, God has given us time so we can measure our lives and stuff like that. But really, God exists outside of time. There's no yesterday or tomorrow to him. Every day, it's all in one, praise the Lord. And that's part of being supernatural, you know. And he operates in and out of that. But he created certain laws for us to live by and abide by as we live on the earth, and that's I suppose just to guide us and to lead us. God also works in a supernatural plane, and we see this all through the Bible. The Bible is full of supernatural experiences. One of the biggest problems with churches is the fact that they don't realize that their God is actually supernatural, that there's a God who moves on you, the God who will actually change things. You know, when we say like, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory," you know, a lot of people just they just can't wrap their mind around things like that. They don't understand how when they can tithe and they put it out, it doesn't make sense how it can come back. They don't understand that when they praise God, when they're going through a trial, that all of a sudden they'll come out of the trial and the chains can fall off. They don't understand these things. But see, all these things are supernatural occurrences. And we will never understand, and as we see here in the scripture, we will never understand God. We will never understand the Bible unless we understand first that it's supernatural. Praise the Lord. We'll never understand. So there's people who have memorized scripture, people who know whole books of the Bible, but that doesn't mean anything unless you got it in your heart, unless you have revelation of it, unless you realize the supernatural existence of the Bible, then you don't understand truly what it's all about. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. That's why people will look at us and they say, well, that's weird. They'll say, that's goofy. I don't understand that. Because they don't understand. They're not spiritual people. They're spiritually dead. And see, how can somebody be alive but dead? But the Bible tells us that that's the way that it is, because we're a spirit being. And I suspect this Sunday you're going to learn more about that. Praise the Lord. But, the Bible goes on to say there in 2:14, 1 Corinthians 2:14, that they are foolishness to those people. They can't know them. It's impossible. It's foolishness to them. It just doesn't make any sense. You think about what's foolishness to you, and that's the way the world looks at it. That's why you can't go up to somebody and just on the street and start talking to them about tongues, because they ain't never going to get it. You can't necessarily. You gotta approach people on the outside gingerly, because they just don't get it. You know, so many people in our camp, and I've been guilty of this myself, but we use what we like to call Christianese when we're talking. We talk Christianese. It's a special language that Christians have, you know. We talk about the anointing, and we talk about the holiness, and we talk about all these things. People out there, they don't understand that. They can't understand it because it's foolishness to them. They're natural men, natural women. They can't understand what God's going to do. But see, we have to remember that God is supernatural, praise the Lord. That he does things from time to time. Now, it doesn't mean that he always works aside from the natural. God always works in line with the natural, because he set those laws to govern us. But when it's needed to, God will step outside. He will supersede those laws and show the supernatural side of him. This is why a lot of people get messed up. The people go to prayer when really what they need to do is use common sense. You know, you can't put bad things in your body and expect to get good things out. You can't put bad things in your body and then be surprised when you're sick. Praise the Lord, because God doesn't work that way. There's natural laws, and it's not that God is holding back healing from somebody. It's that people are violating natural laws. God gave us natural laws. It's important to understand that, and he will work supernaturally when it's needed. But God doesn't work supernaturally just because we want him to. Praise the Lord. God doesn't work apart from us. He always works within us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:3. You know the scripture. We've been here many times, and we'll probably go there many more times. This is actually when I had a frame shop. I used to have a picture frame shop in Lakewood. My wife and I did, and I had this on the wall in there because I like that. You know, it said that by faith the worlds were framed by the word of God. Praise the Lord. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Praise God. I want to pull this up in the Amplified Version. I love what it says here. By faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed. They were fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of the things which are visible. See, we're used to everything we see, and it's natural to us because we see it every day. You don't think it's weird if you see a person walking down the street. You know, the animals that we know, it's not weird to us. You know, when people looking for Bigfoot all the time, you know, it's weird to most people. But I'll tell you what, if you ran into a Bigfoot, I'm not saying there is one, I'm just saying if there was one and you ran into him, it wouldn't be so weird to you anymore. You would now you would be a believer. You would understand. But see, the same thing in the natural world. We understand the things that we live in, but really when you think about what we have and how we operate, even from everything from the way the human body comes together at conception all the way through birth and then all that grows up into or any body for that matter, it's supernatural in origin. I said it because it wasn't meant, until something set that in motion, it wasn't going to be that way. And see, our God is a supernatural God, praise the Lord. But I love how in the Amplified Version that he fashioned it. He put it in order and equipped it for their intended purpose. Pray, everything that God did, everything that God set up, he set up for its intended purpose. And this has spoiled us a little bit. Because you're not surprised when you eat something, when you're hungry and you eat something and you get full, and then you grow as a result of it, and you know what I mean. You're not surprised by this process. In fact, you wouldn't even be surprised unless it stopped working right. Amen. But see, that's because God set that in order. But we have to understand that sometimes God can move outside of that order. We have to understand that we have to expect that God will, but he also works in that order. So before I get too confusing to you, praise the Lord, because I don't want to do that, we have to understand that God is working in order all the time. First with the natural laws. If there is need to at that point, at such a point, he will supersede those natural laws. But that is a decision that he makes, praise the Lord. But we have to first work in order. We have to work according to the purpose that he's intended it to, praise God. Otherwise, we're not going to have the effects of everything that God has intended for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. For so many, the concept of supernatural is not even in their understanding. To most, and I kind of mentioned this, supernatural means ghost or science fiction. If we don't understand it, we believe it. If we don't understand it, we won't believe it. And if we don't believe it, we won't receive it. We have to understand that from God, that things work, the world of God, if you want to say it that way, the kingdom of God operates according to supernatural principles, put in motion by our natural principles, praise the Lord. So am I confusing anybody yet? What we do naturally does matter. But then what we believe God for supernaturally also matters. And see, we're going to have natural things. Like you have natural things. You work a job. You go to a job every day. And you go to work and you do things. You get a paycheck at the end of the week. You're not surprised. In fact, you'd be surprised if you didn't get a paycheck. But if you go to work and you get a paycheck, praise the Lord, you're not surprised by that. But see, I don't even know where I was going with all that, but it's good. What's that? We're not surprised by the natural things. But how about when you go to work and you don't, thank you, love. How about when you go to work and you don't make enough? And then you go to church and they ask for the tithe, they ask for an offering, and you say, well, I don't make enough. I don't know how to do it. See, that's when the supernatural kicks in. Praise the Lord. You know, when we live our daily life, when we go in and out of life, we live most of the time, nothing's wrong with us and we feel good. But how about when you get sick? How about when you go get sick and the doctor says, well, I can't do anything about that? That's when the supernatural kicks in. Now, see, we have to understand that just because there's natural law things that come. Now, if there's things, what I'm trying to get at is if there's things we do, for example, if you're foolish with money, you can't expect God to bless you more. I don't care how much you tithe, you give, all that stuff. If you're foolish with money, he's not going to be able to bless you fully because there's other principles that come into play. And the same thing, if you live on Twinkies and Ding Dongs, glory to God, you shouldn't be surprised if you get a bad report from the doctor saying you're not healthy. Praise the Lord. You can't live on all kinds of fried food. Praise the Lord. I'd like to, but we can't do it. Amen. There's just things, you know, I was telling this, I think, to Pastor Katie last night. My wife and I were with Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie, and so it wasn't just I was with Pastor Katie. I was with the four of us together, praise the Lord. But I was saying, you know, like every time I go to a grocery store, a convenience store, or anything, those candy bars talk to me. They talk to me every single time. I've never been in one and thought, man, you know what, I really don't want that. And I don't care which one's in front. It doesn't matter to me. I just like the chocolate. I like the candy bars. If it's a Reese's, if it's a Milky Way, glory to God, hallelujah. If it's a Kit Kat, if it's a Twix, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's laying there, I'm after it, praise the Lord. I even like the candy bars that a lot of people don't like, you know, like some of the dark chocolates and stuff. I don't care just as long as it's chocolate. But I've never been standing there and thought, man, you know. But, you know, most times I'm in the store, in fact, very, very rarely do I ever buy a candy bar. Why? Well, one, because I mentioned the pulpit and you guys bring me some and I don't need them, praise the Lord. And I'm not telling you to. We got to be careful of that stuff, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord, because it's a temptation. You don't want to tempt your pastor. But at the same time, I mean, I can't live on candy bars. I can't eat them all the time. You know what I mean? I'll start having adverse side effects, praise the Lord, and expensive tailoring and all that stuff. But so we have to work with the natural things. But you know, if we're doing what we know to do, and we're putting our best foot forward, then we should expect the supernatural to work in our lives. And I mean, we need to get to the point where we expect. And you all say amen, but I don't think you quite understand what I'm saying. We have to expect. When you expect something, if you expect that you're going to go get in your car and it's going to start, it's going to start. You're only surprised if it doesn't start. But when you expect from God, it means there's no other option. There's no backup plan. There's no bailout. There's no second plan B. There's nothing. All there is what God said, what His promise was to you, and that's what I'm going forward with. A lot of times what we do as Christians, unfortunately, is we will judge God's promises by what we see in other people. So often I was caught in this trap when I was, and all the way up and through until I started pastoring, and I started getting wise to something. I started realizing, because the Lord started showing me, that not everybody's perfect. You know, not everybody's perfect. I don't care how perfect you are. I know I'm pretty good, but I'm not perfect. If you know, if you were to hear some tragic news about me, which praise the Lord, you're not going to. But if you were to hear it, you don't stop with your faith. Right. You keep pressing on because there's something that happened. You can always point to something. In fact, I've had times where I've been called to go pray with people for healing. Praise the Lord. And I knew when I was praying it wasn't going to happen. I said I knew when I was praying it was going to happen. I was staying in the faith for the sake of the consciences of people. Praise the Lord. And if it's somebody who is connected to me, and this is why it's important to be connected. See, if you're connected to me, I can talk to you. If you're connected to me, I can sit you down and say, hey, listen, this is what's going on. And this can help you stop going down that course. Praise the Lord. Or get away from this, or maybe straighten something out. That's why it's important to be connected. That's why I'm connected. Because I have a pastor who watches over me and will tell me if I'm doing something wrong. Amen? It isn't because he hates me. And if I tell you you're doing something wrong, it isn't because I hate you. But see, people who aren't connected, you can't do that with. Somebody who comes to me and has never been submitted under a ministry, I can't help them. Somebody who comes to the ministry and decides to not be submitted to the ministry, you know, you understand, I'm not talking about submitting to me. I'm talking about being in submission to the ministry where God has you planted. You know, if you don't do that, I can't, you can't help a person that way. This is why a lot of people, especially rogue people, end up not fulfilling the plan of God or not getting the help they need because they don't ever get connected. And getting connected is all our choice every single time. Believing God is always our choice. Choosing to move forward is always our choice. No matter how bad it's been. I'll tell you, I've been in some bad situations. I've been in some bad times. I've seen some bad things in my life. But I'm going to tell you this right now, that the only thing that got me out of it was my choice, my decision to stop going that way. The only thing, praise the Lord. We only stop it by our decisions. God ain't going to intervene and make us. Why? Because He can't. Because that's not the way He designed it. See, He put it in order. He equipped things for their intended purpose. But when people move outside their intended purpose, then they stop having the flow and the power of God. They disconnect themselves. It's no different than if you're vacuuming the floor and someone comes up and pulls the cord out the wall. If they pull the cord out of the wall, you aren't going to get, you can push that vacuum back and forth as much as you want. It isn't going to pick up anything. You can beg and plead. You can get down on your hands and knees and scream to the Lord and with tears in your eyes and say, God, please, please, please get this vacuum clean and running. But as long as it ain't plugged in, as long as it ain't hooked up to the power, praise the Lord. And this is why it matters. So many people, they get disconnected. They get disconnected from what God is doing. And we, of course, we preach this, and then people, and it's funny because it always on the surface can seem self-serving. Well, of course you want people to come here, Pastor Jeff. You want a full church. Of course, Pastor Jeff, this is why you want, hey, every pastor wants their sheep there. Why? Because God's put it in their heart to desire the people. I desire people that I shouldn't desire, that I don't want to desire, but I desire them anyways. And I'm not talking about weird, bad way, but I'm just talking about, you know, people that I wouldn't naturally have anything to do with. And here God has put something in my heart for each and every one of them. Praise the Lord. I've had people who have done rotten things to me, and God's put something in my heart for them. That I can't hate them. I can't despise them. That I want is good things for them. I've had people leave me that if they came back today and were connected, I would think nothing of it. I wouldn't push them away. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God's put that heart inside me. But see, we have to understand that the supernatural always works with the natural. It always works in line with the natural. It isn't going to work opposite it. You know, where it comes into play is when there's things that are out of our control. You know, we have an enemy in this world. That's why God gave us the access to the supernatural. We have an enemy that comes knocking on your door that tempts you. That, you know, when you're feeling the strain, when you're dealing with an addiction, or you're dealing with, and I don't just mean like a drug addiction. I mean any kind of addiction. It could be an addiction to poverty. You don't think that people have that, but they do. So many people do. How do you know? When people are upset by wealth, when they get moved by money in any way. You can have $1 million in the bank and still be obsessed with poverty. And conversely, you can have not a dime to your name. You can have nothing and be completely obsessed with it. It doesn't matter, see, because it's a spirit that comes on people that tries to get people off and tries to get them thinking in the wrong direction. See, if you know Philippians 4:19, that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, then poverty is never a question to you. Why? Because my God shall supply all my needs. You see how the Bible works? The Bible teaches us the truth. The supernatural says it doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural, that if you do what you're supposed to do, if you get connected the way you're supposed to be connected, you will always have everything you need. Praise the Lord. You know, my wife and I think I said this week, you know, we had a washing machine and a lawnmower in the course of just a couple weeks ago. Praise the Lord. What did I do? I fell down on the ground, started crying and shouting at God, saying, why God me? Why? Why did you know that I'm a tither? Don't you know that I'm a giver? Don't you know that I spend time doing your work? Don't you know? Don't you know? No, I didn't do any of that stuff. I looked at my wife and I said, well, go get a new one. Why? Because we needed a new one. We didn't need a junk one. I'm going to get bold here for a minute. We didn't need a junk one. I didn't need somebody's used piece of junk that didn't work. What I needed was a new one that gave me peace, that worked. And what does God do? He supplies. Why? See, I know that God supplies, and so he does supply. Praise the Lord. That's the way that it always is. You say, is it paid off yet? No, it's not paid off yet, but it will be. It will be in a short time period, right? Why? Because God is good. God moves things towards me. Why? Because I serve him. See, that's the supernatural blessing of God. The supernatural side of God is, I don't understand how it's going to happen. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't know how it's going to come in. Praise the Lord. I didn't have any idea how it was going to come in. I didn't have any idea how it's going to get worked out. I just knew it was. Yeah. And so what do? I stay in peace. Praise the Lord. And see, we have to understand we have a supernatural God. Praise God. And we got to know that as long as we do our part, he is always going to be there to meet us. Always going to be there to meet us. And we have to speak right. We have to know that. Amen. James 5:13. Praise the Lord. James 5:13, praise God, hallelujah. These scriptures here have been kind of just like, they've been churning over in me, these ones right here in particular, James, have been churning over in me for quite some time now, and praise the Lord, we'll see if what the fullness of what God was trying to do there, telling me, has come out. You know, that's another supernatural thing. It's a supernatural thing for me to stand in a pulpit. I said, it's so, you don't even understand. This is not my gifting. This is not my ability. I don't just sit there and say, okay, I'm going to come up with this message. Because if you can ask my wife, the way I work is very, very, very inspired. If I don't have inspiration, I have nothing. I mean, nothing. I can't put four scriptures together to make sense. I ain't joking. I mean, without inspiration of God, without that supernatural. But see, I've learned to tap into that. I've learned to be connected to that flow, and that's why I always come ready and able, because God has already put it in me. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's supernatural. How is it? You know, people sit there and say things like, "How can he do that?" Because the Lord took over. The Lord. See, the Lord. When God, it's kind of like this. If you can imagine running towards a cliff. You know, and you're running, and you can't do anything by yourself. You know, you can't fly by yourself. If you can keep running, you're gonna go right off the cliff. But it's like God comes right in behind you, and you're running as fast as you can, full bore towards that cliff, and you ain't letting up. You know the cliff's coming. You can see it coming, but you ain't letting up because you know you have a promise standing behind you, and he comes behind you and scoops you up and just, and takes you right off. That's exactly the way God works. That's exactly the way faith works. When you get running at something, there's been a lot of stuff that has tried to discourage me from the quarry work. And it's not stuff that you would think of. It's all natural things. It has nothing to do with the people there, because I know that God's got a plan for them, but it's all the natural things. It's the buildings and the finances, all the stuff. It's been just trying to discourage me. The devil has been trying to. You know, and the thing is, I finally this week it settled in me. I was like, you know what? God has us. I knew that. God has us down there. He has us there for a purpose. He has us there for a plan. And so I decided just that. I'm just going to start running at it. I'm going to just start running. I don't care about this. I'm going to take it stride by stride. Praise the Lord. I ain't got to provide the building. He's got to provide it. And see, that's the thing. People are looking for they're sitting there thinking, I can't fly. They're saying, I can't fly. I can't take off. God said, you don't need to. I'm going to carry you. I'm going to launch you. I'm going to give you the ability to go. You don't need. See, and that metaphor is the same for anything that we need. We think, well, I don't physically make enough money to do all the things that God's calling me to do. If you trust Him, it doesn't matter. He'll get it to you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. James 5:13, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Praise the Lord. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Him or her. Let them pray for themselves. Is any one of you suffering? Like, listen, there's nothing wrong with getting people to join with you in prayer. I'm not saying that. But we have to have the understanding that God will answer my prayer. I don't need 15 people praying for whatever it is. There is nothing wrong. Let me say this again. There is nothing wrong. If I'm going through something, if I have something heavy come upon me and I need to, yes, there are certain people that I will go to that I know pray, that are prayers, that I would go to and say, hey, can you hold this up for me in prayer? In fact, Wednesday night when we were in the Jamestown church, Pastor Katie had the entire congregation pray over both of our churches. Praise God. It was so exciting to me that people would do that. But just to uphold prayer, there's nothing wrong with getting lots of people. But we have to have the understanding that my prayer is good enough. What I say, what I go to God with, that's good enough. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I serve a supernatural God. Praise the Lord. Because I'm a child of God, I'm a supernatural child of God. See, this is something we have to understand. God will work in us supernaturally till we're doing supernatural things. Yeah, amen. Well, you say, what's all that mess? Well, you know, remember when Peter walked on water? Peter couldn't naturally walk on water. It wasn't just because he had big feet. Praise the Lord. He wasn't water skiing. He walked on water. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God's a supernatural God and He works in us. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. See, this is what people don't do. You know, people get full. They get full of what they need. So often they'll come to church. They'll get their needs met. Praise the Lord. And then they go right out and they start living their own life again. They forget that there's somebody that is due. There's something that is due to somebody. And that one is the one who saved you. Amen. Is anyone cheerful? Let them sing psalms. Praise the Lord. Sing songs to God. Praise the Lord. You know, it blesses me so much, my wife. God bless her. We'll just be going to church. We'll be just around the house. And she'll just be singing about the Lord. Just be singing about loving the Lord. She'll make it up. It doesn't matter. She'll just be singing it. She might just sit there singing, I love you, I love you, I love you to God. That blesses me. That blesses God. See, if more people understood that, they would have less trial, or they would have less, I would not say less trial, but less suffering, less defeat in their life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look at verse 14 here. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Notice what it says here. I love this. It says the prayer of faith. That's so incredibly important. The prayer, the one who prays believing will save the sick. God isn't saying that somebody can't pray for themselves. You can believe for your own healing. You don't need to have people. I'm not saying it's wrong to have people pray over you if you need healing. Then have somebody pray over you. There's nothing wrong with that. Come to the elders of the church. We'll lay hands on you. We'll anoint you with oil. Praise the Lord. We'll do what the Bible says. But the prayer of faith will save the sick. It's the prayer of faith. It's the understanding that when I pray, it's going to happen because I serve a supernatural God. See, people who don't believe this are the people that sit there and say, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get beyond it. I don't know. It looks like I'm going to die. I don't care what it looks like. You serve a supernatural God. I don't care what it feels like. You serve a supernatural God. That's what the prayer of faith is. See, somebody in the ministry should have prayers of faith. Glory to God. I've heard about ministers praying such horrible prayers before. Well, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how you're going to get through. That's not prayer of faith. They should have no business being in ministry. If you can't stand there in faith, if you can't preach to people in faith, if you can't uphold things by faith, well, then glory to God, you should not be standing behind a pulpit. You just become a liability. You aren't a help to anybody. Yeah, and so many people in the church, they don't even know this. So many pastors or so-called pastors, they don't even know this. Praise God. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any committed sins, he will be forgiven. Praise God. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. See, the Bible tells us to pray for one another that we should be healed. Glory to God. Look at this. I love this part here. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails little. It avails much. That means when you're righteous and you pray fervently, this is what you know. That your prayers do a lot of good. They don't just do a little good, they do a lot of good. In other words, they accomplish what they're being prayed for. Now see, you will know this. As you get closer to God, as you learn about God, as you learn about this supernatural God, he's going to give you supernatural wisdom, supernatural knowledge that you didn't have before. You will be able to stand before somebody and you will get the answers ahead of time. There was a time I'd pray and something would or wouldn't happen and I wouldn't know why. And now a lot more. When I pray, I understand why or why not. Sometimes I pray, and the things that I pray for don't exactly happen the way I prayed for them. Praise the Lord. That doesn't sound like faith, does it? But see, the thing is, what's important is that we have to understand that we have to seek God's will in prayer as well. We can't just be praying. Now, of course, if we have the word on it, God's will is that he would heal every person. Praise God. That's a promise we have in the word. God's word says he would heal everybody. Right? That's what he says. So why doesn't he? Well, he also wills that everybody be saved, but not everybody's being saved. And see, if people operate outside of the plan of God, if they operate outside the direction of God, they aren't going to have that supernatural power working in them. And that's why people who stop coming to church. I don't have a lot to say about it. I mean, I try not to be. I try to be nice, but a lot of people they stop coming to church. I mean, and I've been told this at least several times now. I've heard people in this church. We've had people healed of cancer in this church, not because of me, because of God, because of what God's doing here. Because God always does it in a setting like this, right? But we have people that stop coming to this church. I mean, many people that are finding cancer in their bodies. Is there any surprise to it? Praise the Lord. No, why? Because the devil is trying to eat their lunch. God, and it's not that God doesn't want to heal him. His plan was to heal him all along. He had him in a church. But they I forgot about going. I don't want to go anymore. I get distracted by this one in the world, want to do the things the world does. And then that's why you have what you have. Listen, I can't pray. I said this in Jamestown. I think probably said it here before too, but I can't pray stupid out of people. I said, I can't pray stupid out of people. I can't pray you into the blessing of God if you're going to constantly reject what God has for you. Listen, there is an extreme prosperity and grace message that teaches us that God will do all these things for us just because we're children of God. And there are a lot of things God will do for you just because you're a child of God. But if you reject his commandments, the Bible is very, very clear that you can't receive from God because you can't be in faith by rejecting the commandments, because the only way to be in faith is by doing the commandments. People don't understand this, but you cannot be in faith if you are rejecting the commandments of God. You cannot be in faith if you say, well, I don't believe that. You can't be in faith if you accept some of it. If you accept, well, I'll accept some of what the word says and some of what the world has. The Bible says that if you're friends with the world, you're enemies with God. That means if you accept what the world has, if you say, well, this is, if you go along with it, this is why what we think is so dreadfully important. It is so important for us to think right. And we can't do so when we're not planted, when we're not hearing the right things. Why? Because there's a whole world that is telling us things that aren't right all the time. This is where people get the idea, well, you can have God wherever you want him. But God was never like that. You'll never find it in Scripture. You'll never find it on earth. You will never find the power of God flip-flopping. In fact, the Bible tells us what happens when you flip-flop. See, all these things are in Scripture. All these things are written there. And so what people do is they want to find God their way. They want to worship God their way instead of looking the way he said to do it. You know, I've told my kids this so many times. You know, I've told them to do something, give them direction, and they do a different way. Praise the Lord. And then they come to me all proud of themselves. And I'm not happy. Why? Because that's not the way I told you to do it. I told you to do things this way. Why? Because that's the way I wanted them done. Praise the Lord. And a lot of times it was for their benefit.
Yeah, sure.
Praise God. But they wouldn't know that if they don't listen. If they just do the way they want to, then you're not being pleasing. The same thing is with God. And it's not that God's withholding, but God is doing everything he possibly can. We have to understand this. God is doing everything he possibly can to get things over to us, to get things into us, to get us blessed. God doesn't want his children poor. There is no child of God that is supposed to be poor. But that does not mean that every child of God is going to be rich. And the reason is not because of God. The reason is because he can only do so much. If somebody's being terrible with money, I actually wrote a faith fix about it today a little bit. But if somebody's being terrible with money, you wouldn't give somebody, if you knew somebody in your family was an extreme gambler or something like that, or they were a drug user and all they were doing was taking their money and spending it on this stuff all the time. You wouldn't, if they came to you asking for money, you wouldn't be willing to just give it, hand it over to them. And if you did, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you right now, if you give somebody who's bad with money, if you give them more money, you're an idiot. You're doing just, all you're doing is enabling them. You're giving them the ability to be rebellious against God. And then you think the blessing of God will be in your life? Parents, there's so many parents that deal with this. Praise the Lord. You can't do that. We want the supernatural things of God, but we have to do the natural. We have to keep the natural things in order. Amen? Praise God. But what I wasn't done here, because we got more scriptures here to read. These are really, I love this, because this gives us such a wonderful example. 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Praise the Lord. Last weekend, we had a party for my son. We had a birthday party for my boy Caleb, his 16th birthday. It was a surprise party and all that stuff. And leading up to it, we're looking at the forecast, and it's bad. I mean, it was bad. There were storm clouds and everything. It was moving on. My wife and my mom were praying. Glory, hallelujah. And I said a few words too. Praise God. I'm not saying that, I'm not just trying to say, oh, look how spiritual we are, but I'm saying I believe it. I believe when I pray it's going to be answered. When we were praying for the rain not to come, we couldn't put up a tent. We didn't have a tent, so we just had no choice. Amen. You know, see, that's the thing about we have to understand, we're not, you know, God isn't giving us the power of prayer and the power of believing him so we can just randomly, willy-nilly change weather patterns. You're not going to all of a sudden pray snow out of Mayville. Well, for one thing, I'm praying for it because I like snow. I don't mind the snow. I love the snow, actually, for a time. If you want to start praying after January, that's fine. But, you know, you're not going to pray to change things like that because there's no purpose in that. There's no, you know, the Bible's clear that God hasn't given us this ability just so we can do whatever the heck we want with it. God doesn't give us money. So I've seen this before. I've seen Christians that are so blessed financially and that they're not even connected to a church. In fact, I drove by the property just recently of somebody who I knew was a Christian. And at one time went to church. They don't go to any church. It's not just they don't go to mine, but they don't go to any church. And they're so prosperous. And they build nicer and nicer things on their property. They have nicer toys. I even think I saw someone out on a real nice, and I don't have any problem with any of that stuff. But what I'm saying is they don't go to church. And if they don't go to church, you know they're not tithing. And if you know they're not tithing, they're also not giving. And the thing is that they're going to stand before the Lord at some point. And he's going to say, I blessed you with all this. Yeah. and yet you were just consumed with your own stuff. How do we know that? By the way people live their lives. It's not about judging people. It's not saying, you know, I don't sit there picking people's lives apart. It's not that at all. But the Spirit will speak to you about things if you let Him. Amen? But notice this, that when Elijah prayed, it's not natural to start saying something out into the air and have the weather patterns change, is it? But the Bible said it happened. See, that's what a supernatural God does. Now, there was purpose for that. There was purpose for that rain not coming. God was showing how awesome He was. Praise the Lord. He was gonna wake up some people with this, okay? And sometimes God will move on people to do things like that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now we're going to get into what some supernatural looks like. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Kings 6 and go to verse 1. 2 Kings. Remember after 1 Kings, way back there in the Old Testament? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 6, 1. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us." Now, so what was going on here was just it was like a school of prophets, and Elisha was training them, and he was teaching them some things and stuff like that, and they're outgrowing the space, and they go on to say, "Please let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a dwelling a place where we may dwell." So he answered, "Go, see natural things. You don't need God to tell you. You need to move." Yeah, I mean, sometimes the Lord will direct people to move, but you don't need God to tell you. See, sometimes we just got to do things that we got to do. God doesn't have to tell you to clean your car. You just should know you got to do it. I don't know why I looked at you, probably. Is your car clean? Hey, praise the Lord. I just cleaned mine today, so I'm off the hook. Hallelujah. But you don't need God to tell you if you need more. You don't need God to tell you. You don't need God to move on you. You don't have to seek the Lord and see if it's His will. His will is that you're supplied. His will is that you have everything you need. So if you're operating within the realm as best you can, the will of God, then you can expect that these things are just going to happen. That's why whatever raises up, you just got to do it. Praise the Lord. Maybe you need to add onto your house. Maybe you weren't expecting this extra whatever you were going to need. Well, praise the Lord. Just believe the Lord for it. Just do it. Just start moving towards it. Amen? It's kind of like Pastor Michael said to me. I submit everything to my spiritual leaders, Pastor Tim and Pastor Michael. I always submit things to them. I don't move anything major. I don't do anything major in the churches without submitting it to them. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I've learned that's a good way to keep safe. And so Pastor Michael said to me, I went to him and I said, the Lord's moving on me about this for our church. About a building, getting into a building. And, you know, at the time, we have like one person that's coming faithfully. How many know that, that's not a lot of support? Right. Do you know what I'm saying? There's not a lot of supply there, naturally speaking, for it. And he said to me, and he asked me about it. He said, like, well, what's the Lord tell you, you know? And I'm like, well, you know, Pastor, I was like, I look at it like this. I was like, we don't start churches with the intent of ever closing them down, right? He said, right. We don't. There's no trial in the family churches. We aren't trying church. We didn't plan it. The church in Corey, the church in Mabel, they will work. Sooner or later, they will. Why? Because they have to. Because we didn't do it willy-nilly. We didn't do it just because we wanted to. We did it because it was the leading of the Lord. So, see, there's a difference between doing things according to the leading of God. We did it with purpose. And we know that there's purpose there. And I said to this, I said, well, we didn't plant the church with the idea of not having a church. So we know we got to have one. And if you got to have a church, you got to have a building to put them in. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So we're just moving in that direction. Yeah. Why? It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't matter. I don't even think about the sense realm. As far as that stuff goes, when it comes to the things of God, we just go. When we did, amen? Praise the Lord. Then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he said, "I will go." So he went with them. You can all wonder where this is going, but we'll get there. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. So they're preparing, right? They're doing the work. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, "Alas, master! For it was borrowed." Yeah, this sounds a little bit crazy, but I'm going to tell you something. There's times that people come to you with stuff and you're like, seriously? Like, you had to bother me for that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's big things, you know, there's big things in life. And I'm not saying, but there's times that people come to you and they'll just be like, you know, and I'm not talking generally people in the church even necessarily. I'm talking about people in the world. I have people come to me, they know that I'm a pastor, so they'll come to me to pray for this, pray for that. And I'll be like, seriously? Like, seriously? Like, this is what we're, this, okay, well, praise the Lord. But see, you gotta baby people. They get all worked up over spilled milk, right? Yeah. I have seen people get up. I've seen people get worked up over something somebody said that they were going to do, and they had no grounds to do it. It was something like, so if somebody said to me, "I'm going to do this towards you," and there's no grounds for them to do it. There's no legal grounds for them to do it. They have no ability to do it, and they don't even have the gumption to do it. They don't have enough energy to hardly stay awake, much less follow through with anything that's remotely difficult. Praise the Lord. And I've seen the person on the receiving end of that get all upset. Well, wait a minute here. What are they getting all upset about? Yeah. You could change this with their word. Who's your God? Yeah. Do you have a supernatural God? Well, the Bible says that if we trust God, that we shouldn't fear anything that man has to do to us. So what are we going to do? Are we going to lay down and let some goofy nutball that doesn't know anything, are we going to let them tell us, dictate the way our life's got to be? If somebody tells you something you don't like, you'll first you judge why you don't like it. And if it's a good reason, it doesn't take you long to judge why you don't like it. If they tell you something you don't like and you judge that it's wrong, then you just stand up, be a man or woman of God, and just deal with it. Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Axe head fell in the water. What are we going to do? It was borrowed. So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" I love this. And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and he threw it in there. And he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. He didn't even say, "Get wet." He didn't say go down in the water and figure it out, which is probably what I would have said. This man of God, and he knew God so well, he cut off a stick, threw it in the water, and the axe had floated. Supernatural. It floated. See, God will do supernatural things to supernatural people because they trust in him. We have to understand this. Now, I don't want you guys to go out throwing axes in the lake trying to make them float, because that would be stupid. That'd be a waste of your time. But what I am saying is certainly we have axe heads in our lives that aren't floating. So certainly we have things in our lives we need to bring to the surface. Certainly we have things that we need to get beyond. Certainly we have things that rise up against us, even little bothersome things. This is proof that God cares about little things. You say, "Well, I don't know about all that because God, you know, he's so busy. He's got whole worlds to run and universes to keep charge of and angels and all this other stuff and all these people. And I don't know if he cares about, God cares about the little things. He cares about you being upset. God, if it bothers you, it bothers him. So praise the Lord, don't let something bother you. If something bothers you, then get in the sight of faith and get it changed. You got a supernatural God. It's time you understand that. See, the problem is, and where you're going to get tripped up, and where people always get tripped up, and I include myself in this, is in the hows. We try to try to figure out how this is going to happen. How is God going to do it? How did God make the earth? Who cares? I don't care. I don't have to see him swirling his finger. I don't know if when he was spoken, he was dancing. Maybe he was doing backflips as he spoke the earth into existence. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. He just did, and it worked. Amen. And he said, "This is the way it works, and this is the way it's going to work." Amen? Praise the Lord. See, it doesn't matter how. We don't need to know how. We don't need to know how. Praise the Lord. And we don't need to know why all the time either. Sometimes people spend so much time in why, they forget what God's doing in their midst. Why? I don't know. Sometimes you don't know. I really, there's a lot of times I just don't care why. And there's things that I do care why. I want to know why, and God will either tell me or he won't. Praise the Lord. The axe head floated. Praise the Lord. It happened. Supernatural God. Luke 5, 1. Praise the Lord. Luke 5, 1. So it was as the multitude pressed near. As the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. Notice this. I mean, you could stop in so many scriptures. We could preach on this all day. So it was when the multitude pressed about to hear. Press about him to hear the word of God. What if people did that in church today? What if people, what if people showed up early because they know if they didn't, they wouldn't get a seat? Yeah, hallelujah. But yet there's people that come in, they're surprised if their seat's taken. Yeah, there's people coming to church and be like, well, wait a minute, I ain't been here in 4 weeks, but why is somebody sitting in my seat? Well, glory, hallelujah, it's the truth. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I remember going to church. I remember one time with a special meeting in Jamestown. I remember somebody was there 3 hours early just to get a good seat, just get close to that anointing. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not saying that that's always good, but I'm just saying that desire to be close matters. They press about him to hear the word of God. That he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, that's Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now here is another example. Here's another really good thing to learn right here. Notice what Jesus did. He got into one of the boats. Now if Peter wasn't willing to let him in the boat, he wasn't going to go anywhere. If he wasn't willing to let him in the boat, he wasn't going to stand there and preach a sermon. It wasn't Jesus forced his way onto it. He asked for permission, Peter let him. See, it matters. When you use what you have for the kingdom of the Lord, you're going to see that here in a minute. Praise the Lord. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." See, this is how good our God is. You do something for him, and he does stuff for you. But no, you're going to wait and see what he does for you. But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless," and see, here's the important part. "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. The boats were sinking. These are people who couldn't catch fish the night before. See, it matters when you serve God. Praise the Lord. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Glory. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." Glory, hallelujah. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Glory to God. Supernatural. Supernatural. How did God? They went out. They did everything they could in the natural to catch fish. But because they obeyed God, because they connected to God, because they did what God said, they helped God out, praise the Lord. They cared about what he was doing. Praise the Lord, he supernaturally filled their nets. How do you do that? I don't know. Can angels swim? Apparently. Praise the Lord. But those fish came. It doesn't matter. They came. It was filling, sinking their boats. Praise the Lord. You're in Luke, where are you? In Luke 5 there. Skip on down to Luke 22. We're going to see another example, supernatural. See, our Bible, this is what is astounding about our Bible. Our Bible is full of supernatural occurrences. Full of it. And yet Christians have such a hard time believing God for the simplest of things. The Bible is full of supernatural occurrences. Luke 22:49. This is when Jesus was in the garden. He was about to be taken captive just before he went to the cross. When those around him saw what was going on, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Look how good Jesus is. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Now, when it says he touched his ear, he cut off his ear. We saw that he cut off his ear. A new ear grew. That's supernatural. How many know that that doesn't happen naturally? Praise the Lord. Lori, you're a doctor. Have you ever seen somebody come in missing an ear that's just been cut off and have it grow right back? I ain't never seen that. Supernatural, praise the Lord. It is a natural occurrence. If you saw that, would you say, that's supernatural? Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's supernatural. These things don't happen naturally, but see, we don't serve a natural God. We serve a supernatural God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. John 14:12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the next one. Find verse 14. Praise the Lord. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, he who believes in me, he who trusts in me, who believes my word, who will do what I say. See, you prove what you believe by what you're willing to do. You prove what you believe by what you're willing to step out in. You prove what you believe by your actions. Hallelujah. You prove what you believe or you don't believe. Glory to God. You prove who you trust in by what you do. He who believes in me, Jesus said this, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. He did not say that the disciples, that the apostles, that these ones that are with me now, that these are, he said, those who believe in me, those who are willing to trust me to the end, anyone who will pick up and run with me, this is what they get. They get greater works. They get more than what I did. They will reach more people. They will help more people. They will get more people into the kingdom of God. But see, you got to be willing. If you're not believing, you're not going to be willing. Praise the Lord. Because he goes to his Father. Jesus goes to his Father. He went to his Father for a reason. And that was so that we could do greater works. He went to his Father so we could live in supernatural. So we could experience the supernatural in our lives. And yet so many Christians, they just don't understand the supernatural. Because they're spending so much time trying to figure out how. Praise God. Can you imagine getting, I'll use a car example. Can you imagine getting in your car every day? You go out to your car every day. And you sit there and like, I know that all I got to do is put the key in and turn it. But I just don't understand how it's going to happen. I don't understand how turning that key starts this engine. I don't understand it. This is the way Christians are. I'm telling you right now, this is the way they are. So they go, they sit in their car and they say, and they ain't going nowhere. They don't go anywhere because they don't do what they know to do. They don't stick the key in the ignition and turn it. They're not doing the things. They're spending more time worrying about the how than just knowing that God will and then moving with God as he tells them to do it. When God says do this or do that, what do? Do this or do that. And it works. Praise the Lord. He very rarely ever paves the way ahead of time. I've never seen it ahead of time. I've never seen it in my life where God has opened the door and said, here it is. It's all laid out in front of you. No. He says, move in faith. Step out. Do it. Do this in faith. Do that in faith. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. And look at verse 13. And whatever, everybody say with me, whatever. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And verse 14, if you didn't hear what verse 13 said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. It's a promise of God. You see, this is a person who believes in him. Listen, if you believe in him, you're not going to be asking Jesus to smite your neighbor. If you believe in him, you aren't going to be believing Jesus to kill your boss or you know what I'm saying? You're not going to be believing the Lord to do bad things if you believe in him, because you're going to actually do what he wants you to do. You see how it's all connected? But then you can also see why so many people go without. So many Christians go without, and then they say, "Well, we don't believe this." See, there's churches, there's whole churches, there's whole religions that hate our faith because we preach this word. There's people who hate what we are. They hate everything about us. Somewhere we're getting people saved. We have lives being restored. We have marriages being restored. We have people getting help. They don't care about any of that. All they care about is their doctrine. All they care about is the snarf that they grew up in. Oh, so-and-so said this all the time, but I don't care what so-and-so said. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, believing in me, you will do. I will do it. You will have it. You'll get it. He said it's a matter of fact. It will happen. So it's time that we start realizing we have a supernatural God who does those things that we can't do. We don't need to be able to, because God is able. We don't need to be able to, because God did already. We don't need to, because we got Jesus. He said, ask and you'll receive. Why? Because it glorifies God when you get blessed. It isn't glorifying God. Think about that. Have you ever heard a religious person say to you that it glorifies God when you're sick? We've heard that garbage out there. We've heard people talking about how God wants people sick and God wants people broke and God wants people defeated. If you believe that, you don't believe the Bible. Hallelujah. Go find a non-Bible teaching church. You know, we want to believe in God. We want to follow God. See, this is the thing. It doesn't just say this one time. The Scripture is full of this stuff. The Scripture is full of God's promises saying, I'm supernatural, I will. Then that's essentially what he's saying. I'm supernatural and I'll show you if you believe me. All you got to do is believe me. But you know, there'll be people that will stay in dead religions just because it's where they always were. Then they're going to eat that. I'm going to tell you right now. You know, people say, well, why do people get healed in this church, not that church? Because you ain't sowing it, you ain't growing it. Praise the Lord. And if you ain't growing it, you ain't reaping it. And if you ain't reaping it, praise the Lord, then neither are your people. Your people aren't going to have what they need. And that's why that the church has become a liability, because there's so many people out there that are teaching wrong doctrine. Glory to God. God is a supernatural God. They try to understand him with natural thinking, the natural ways. This is why Christians will go out and they'll still party. They'll still do stupid things like drink and stuff like that, because they don't have a clue as to what God really did for them. It's more important for them to have that. I've seen people leave churches over a glass of wine. I say, well, what? God don't want, I get mad at the preacher because he says I can't even have a glass of wine. So you're going to leave a church? That glass of wine is that important? Then you better check up why that glass of wine is so important to you. See, because there ain't nothing that's more important to me than the Word of God. There's nothing more important to me than God and doing His Word and doing what He wants me to do. Praise the Lord. So I get my life in line with that. That's why I'm blessed. And as you do that, you'll be blessed too. Hallelujah. As you partake in that, you'll be blessed too. The greatest thing is if you didn't do it yesterday, just do it today and you're set. If you screwed it up yesterday, start it today. And if you refuse to start it today, well, by God, start it tomorrow. But be careful, because if you keep pushing it off too long, it's going to be too late. Mark 9:23, glory to God. I'm going to close in this. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. He said, if you can believe. If you can believe. You know how many times I've sat with people and I've said just this. I was like, if you can believe, in so many words, if you can believe, if you can try, if you can do it, if you can believe, and if you can get beyond you and get to the Word of God, not because I say it. You know, we have so many people. I have people come in here. I've had people come in as I've pastored, and they don't agree with something I've said, but it's scriptural. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, you can't argue it. I don't care what you, and people will come up with all kinds of ways. I have had people arguing with me to try to tell me why God will give them things that they can't get beyond. I had a man argue that with me in Corey. Praise the Lord. Trying to convince me that God doesn't want good things, essentially, in their life. Trying to convince me of that. Like so that's what you want your position to be. You want your position to be God's bad, does bad things to me out of his great love. That's what that sums up their position. That's what you want your position to be. See, Christians, we got to stand up sometimes. When we hear this religious garbage, we got to say something about it. So what you're saying to me is God wants us sick. God wants bad things in our life because he loves me so much. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Doesn't make any sense to God either, I'm just telling you. Hallelujah.